Take Off, the podcast. Stories by students and classics. This is episode 25. Welcome to the show. A few weeks ago, you may remember, I talked with Krupla Gergő, a student at the University of Page, and he was telling us about Shelfari, a website where you can collect your books you've read and find recommendations and give recommendations for other people to read other books. And in that episode, I mentioned Google Books, my favorite virtual library service, one where you can actually look inside the books. There are thousands and thousands of fiction and non-fiction titles. And for this week's episode, I've chosen the text from Google Books. The book I found is called The Mystery of Easter Island. It was written by Catherine Rutledge in 1919. And I'm going to read a part from chapter 13, Prehistoric Remains. In many places it's possible, in the light of great monuments, to reconstruct the past. In Easter Island, the past is the present. It's impossible to escape from it. The inhabitants of today are less real than the men who have gone. The shadows of the departed builders still possess the land. Voluntarily or involuntarily, the sojourner must hold commune with those old workers. For the whole air vibrates with a vast purpose and energy, which has been and is no more. What was it? Why was it? The great works are now in ruins. Of many, comparatively little remains. But the impression infinitely exceeded anything which has been anticipated. And every day, as the power to see increased, brought with it a greater sense of wonder and marvel. If we were to tell people at home these things, said our sailing master, after being shown the prostrate images on the great burial place of Tongariki, they wouldn't believe us. The present natives take little interest in the remains. The statues are to them facts of everyday life in much the same way as stones or banana trees. Have you no moai, as they are termed in England? Was asked by one boy, in a tone in which surprise was slightly mingled with contempt. To ask for the history of the great works is as successful as to try to get from an old woman selling bootlaces at Westminster the story of Cromwell or the frock-coated worthies in Parliament Square. The information given in reply to questions is generally widely mythical, and any real knowledge crops up only indirectly. Anyone who is able to go to the British Museum can see a typical specimen of an Easter Island statue in the large image which greets the approaching visitor from under the portico. The general form is unvarying, and with one exception, all appear to be the work of skilled hands, which suggests that the design was well known and evolved under other conditions. It represents a half-length figure at the bottom of which the hands nearly meet in front of the body. The most remarkable features are the ears, of which the lobe is depicted to represent a fleshy rope, while in a few cases the disc, which was worn in it, is also indicated. The fashion of piercing and distending the lobe of the ear is found among various primitive races. The tallest statues are over 30 feet, a few are under 6 feet, and even smaller specimens exist. Those which stood on the burial places are usually from 12 to 20 feet in height and were surmounted with the form of hat. listening to a passage from Chapter 13, Prehistoric Remains, in Catherine Routledge's The Mystery of Easter Island, written in 1919. If you'd like to read other parts from other chapters, go to my Podomatic page and there's a link to Google Books. The episode also featured Kevach, a world musician, with his track called Shadow Dance. And again, it's from podsafeaudio.com. And until next time, take care.